Daniel 6, but the specific verse would be verse 27. He, the living God, delivers and rescues. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. The other day I watched a YouTube video about a buffalo under attack of a lion. And another buffalo then rushes in to help and manages to hook the lion with its horns and to toss the lion high up in the air. And the lion literally makes several somersaults before touching down some meters away. And I said to myself, wow, that's power on display right there. A display of God's sovereign saving power is what we have in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is also written to comfort and encourage God's people in exile then and today with the assurance of God's sovereign control and powerful ability to deliver his people out of the persecution they experience in exilic circumstances. And the ultimate purpose of the display of God's power, ability, and ability to save Daniel from the lions, the ultimate purpose is to point towards our deliverance from evil and death and eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of Daniel 6 to us is, be comforted and encouraged in trusting the living God, who is sovereign in power and able to save from any kind of evil lion. See to your comfort and encouragement how demonic persecution is overruled. Daniel was about to be promoted prime minister of the whole empire. Yet jealousy so raged among the other high officials and satraps that they evilly planned to get rid of Daniel. But knowing that no accusation of dirt or corruption can be brought against Daniel in regard to his work ethic and living style, his lifestyle, these evil men decided to use Daniel's faithfulness, his strong point, his faithfulness to God, against him. And they came up with an evil scheme that convinced King Darius to ban prayer to anyone but himself and to make it a law of the Medes and Persians that anyone found in violation of this decree would be thrown in a den of lions to meet their death. Was this evil scheme out of God's control, his sovereign control? Was God's hands now tied by the law of the Medes and Persians? Did the conspirators manage to cause a short a sovereign power help, could their evil plan frustrate and even destroy God's purposes in regards the Daniel project? The answer is clear, isn't it, brothers and sisters? As Psalm 33 verse 10 states, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Nothing can stay the sovereign hand of God. God is the ultimate, final, and complete authority over everyone and everything, including evil. Evil cannot thwart the purposes of sovereign God. Instead, the very opposite is true. Throughout Scripture, the glorious testimony echoes in display after display of God overruling evil. God overruling evil. God overrules evil to bring about His ultimate purposes to the glory of His holy, holy, holy name. Yes, the high officials and satraps certainly meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Sin cannot and will not frustrate the plans and power of sovereign God. And the same ultimate truth, brothers and sisters, was clearly on display in the life and ministry of the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like there were Babylonian leaders seeking to find ground for complaint against Daniel so he could be put to death, so the Jewish leaders conspired to get Jesus killed. And as the Babylonian leaders could find no corruption in Daniel's political and personal life, so the Jewish leaders sought testimony against Jesus, but they could find none. As Daniel was found guilty of transgression of the law of the Medes of the Persians to be punished with death, so Jesus was found guilty of transgressing the law of the Jews. We have a law, and according to this law, He ought to die because He had claimed to be the Son of God, they said in John 19:7. But according to His redemptive purposes, God sovereignly overruled the evil lion's intent and demonic persecution he experienced by directing it all for good, so that Jesus could take our guilt on His shoulders and carry it to the cross. Satan surely hoped the cross would get God's Jesus project derailed and destroyed. But God used the evil intent to kill His Son on that cross. He used it for the good purpose of saving sinners. Demonic intent powerfully overruled. See to your comfort and encouragement how defiant perseverance is enabled Daniel knew that the decree which forbade prayer to his God had been signed. And he understood the consequences of disobedience to the law of the Medes and Persians. However, Daniel did not falter in his devotion to God. Daniel did not cave in to the pressure to compromise. Instead, we read in verse 10 that he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. It is one thing to say that you believe in the sovereignty of God. It is another to trust God as indeed sovereign in all circumstances. And God enabled such trust in practice for Daniel. Daniel could have rationalized that prayer to the king can do no harm as long as you don't mean it. Daniel could have prayed privately, only at night. He could have closed his windows so nobody could see him praying. Instead, Daniel continued to pray as he always had done. What concerned Daniel, brothers and sisters, in his 3 prayers a day facing Jerusalem, direction of Jerusalem, was probably Solomon's request of God hundreds of years before that. At the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon anticipated the day when God's people would have sinned so greatly against God that he would have let them be deported to a other country away from the promised land because of their sins. In his prayer, Solomon asked that when that tragedy occurred, and they then turned back to the Lord in the land of their enemies, and start praying towards the temple in Jerusalem, that the Lord then will hear their prayer. For that specific day, Daniel probably also asked for God's protection against temptation to compromise his devotional life so as to avoid persecution. And that his loyalty to God alone in worship would be a loud statement to both the Gentile world and his fellow as Israelites that only God is worthy to be worshipped even in the toughest of times. The same is true today. Our Almighty God reigns, and we should worship and obey Him above all else, even in the midst of great pressure to compromise our faith for peace and safety's sake. The unbelieving world is watching, and we should shine our light to the glory of our Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, such defiant perseverance in prayer and worship was greatly on display in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Daniel trusted in God and stayed committed to prayer 3 times a day, so Jesus stayed committed to the reason for his incarnation and trusted his Father completely. And the night before his crucifixion, he prayed 3 times, saying, "My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus stayed committed to the reason for his season of 32 odd years on earth. And he left us an example of trust and obedience and perseverance to God's law and will, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. We read, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hauled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. In our day, there is pressure to compromise. And a prime law of the day, we could say, or seems to be, inclusiveness. We Christians are being abused of being exclusive and unfriendly and offensive to those who do not share our beliefs. The reality is that Christianity is both inclusive and exclusive. The good news of Jesus Christ is inclusive in that it is offered to anyone and everywhere, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. But a vast majority of people are not willing to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord into their lives, because they believe what the culture believes and proclaims, that all kinds of religion leads to God and heaven, and it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you believe. And as long as Christians maintain that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and that there is no other God and that the true God's law should be obeyed in all aspects of life, also in moral issues of the day, then Christianity is indeed exclusive. And to try to convince Christians that they must abandon their old-fashioned beliefs in the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ and must accept the popular, political, correct, pluralistic worldview and inclusiveness of the culture, they will meet a negative response, isn't it, from Christians loyal to Christ Jesus and the Word of God. And if we therefore in any way or form trespass the political correct rules of inclusiveness in our religious practices or in our work situation or in our sport activities or in our social interaction, then we surely ask for persecution in one or another form, by an intolerant, hostile society. And since it is all about prayer, Daniel praying, I just want to use, for example, prayer. In some states, prayer in schools are in our day totally banned. And it is even a criminal offense, punishable by law, for a parent to pray for their child wrestling with gender dysphoria or sexual attraction issues, even on that child's request, pray for me. It's banned, it's wrong. And even a pastor praying for somebody with their request, that person's request, praying for life change in this person, such prayers is banned in our day, some places, and seen as potentially criminal, coercive, and punishable. This is a time to stay steadfast and in perseverance to obey the great commandment and great commission of our God. To be light in and salt of the world, and to go make disciples of all nations, and to keep on praying, says Martin Arles, as if there isn't a bill passed against prayer in Victoria. This is a time to trust that our sovereign God is powerfully able to keep us safe from compromises that will harm our witness in the world. See to your comfort and encouragement how divine protection is provided and proven. As Daniel was praying, those who meant him harm barged in. And as they had hoped, there was Daniel busy with his same old same daily devotions. And when King Darius heard about Daniel's trespass of the Medes and Persian law, he was deeply distressed because he didn't want to lose his soon-to-be prime minister. His search for any loophole in the decree to free Daniel, but to no avail. His hands were tied, and the evil conspirators reminded him of his only option. The king was forced to give the order, and Daniel was cast into the den of lions with the king's well-wishing, "May your God, who you serve continually, deliver you, Daniel." A better translation, proposed a scholar, would be, "Your God, who you constantly serve, he must deliver you." In other words, Darius throws his hands in the air and say, "Sorry, mate, I've done everything I could to help you and failed." The only one who can save you now is your God. No human hand could interfere, not even the king of the greatest empire. Daniel's immediate fight seemed irreversible and absolutely certain. But what man cannot do, God can, isn't it? And God would not permit the lions even so much as to touch Daniel with a claw or a tooth. And why not? Because they listen to the voice of their almighty Creator. The Creator powerfully and totally in control of His whole creation. And this is true for all of the created order. When Jesus calmed the storm, His disciples said, "What then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" That's why no kind of roaring lion can so much as touch the people of God outside of God's sovereign permission. And why nothing can cause you to die before your God-given work and purpose here on earth is completed. Temper Longman III says, "In this story, God overruled the evil intentions of the conspirators and the powerlessness of Darius in order to illustrate to countless generations of his people that he is almightily able to save his people even in the midst of the most dire of circumstances. This saving power of our sovereign God was displayed par excellence in the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Like Darius, brothers and sisters, like Darius unsuccessfully tried to save Daniel, so Pilate unsuccessfully tried to save Jesus. Like Daniel was condemned to die and thrown in a sealed lion pit, so Jesus was condemned to death and his body placed into a sealed pit, so that his situation could also not be changed by human intervention. Jesus' trial went even deeper than Daniel's, says de Huguet. He did not merely suffer the threat of death, he went down into death itself. Although Jesus was innocent, he suffered the fate we, the guilty ones, deserved. His body was left entombed in the icy grip of death for 3 days before he powerfully rose from the dead and so accomplished our salvation out of eternal death. Divine protection from eternal death was provided and proven to be a done deal for us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And it was pointed to by Daniel's powerful protection, God's powerful protection of Daniel in a death pit filled with hungry lions. But if God can shut the lion's mouth and surely stop the continuation of the Babylonian exile persecution. And many life-threatening circumstance situation for his people through the ages. Like for those mentioned in Hebrews 11, who through faith shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies and received back their dead, raised from death to life again. If God is almightily able to shut the mouths of any kind of roaring lion, even the mouth of evil persecution, then why doesn't he do so always, also for people like those also mentioned in Hebrews 11, who face flogging, chains, imprisonment? They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Then why does he allow some evil roaring lions to have Christian for lunch? Christian for lunch. Because, brothers and sisters, God has the sovereign right to bring about his purposes even through the sufferings and death of those precious to him. Just like it happened with Jesus, the precious Son of God, on that cross. Just think about what happened to Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, who was arrested and sentenced to be killed by lions in Rome because of witnessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, counter to the Roman edict that Caesar is Lord. Congregations heard of his plight and met him along the way to Rome with prayers and offers of support. And grateful for their support, Ignatius sent thank you letters to all those congregations. But in the letter to the church in Rome, he urged believers not to interfere with his sentence or to seek his release, arguing, "I am wheat, ground fine by lion's teeth, to be made purest bread for Christ. Better still, you should incite the creatures to become a sepulchre, a tomb for me. Let them not leave a smallest scrap of my flesh, so I need not be a burden to anyone after I fall asleep, and there be no trace of my body for the world to see. Then, says Ignatius, I shall truly be Christ's disciple." Ignatius was a man enabled, you would agree, enabled to trust the God, that God is sovereign in control and has good reason and purpose for what he allows in the lives of his people. Daniel 6:24 calls Daniel's accusers those who ate his pieces. They were the human equivalent to the lions themselves. Those who sought to devour God's people. But eventually, they were the ones who got devoured by the lions that day. Yes, Christians will also and always be persecuted, as it is stated in 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But in the end, they will be vindicated, if not in this life, surely in life after death. The powerful resurrection of Jesus out of the pit of death provides us with a full assurance that our bodies will also one day be raised from the grave by the same sovereign power that raised Jesus. And our divine protection will then receive its eternal proof. Within God's heaven on earth eternal kingdom, where there will be no more death and mourning and crying and pain caused by evil persecution. See to your comfort and encouragement how Deo Gloria proclamation is decreed in this story and in Jesus' life. Once Daniel is freed, Darius made a public declaration ascribing ultimate praise and glory to the living sovereign God. The Darius decree acknowledges that Daniel's God is the only one who is able to deliver and rescue. Only the God of Israel was able to shut the mouth of the lions. And therefore, I demand by decree to glorify this God. So then why, ask a scholar, did God allow the evil intent of the high officials and satraps, and did God allow Daniel to be thrown into a lion's den and then to deliver him from their power? The answer to all of these questions is that this took place so that the message of God's sovereign power to save will be proclaimed to God's glory all over the world. God's glory being put on display with the ultimate purpose for everything that was the ultimate purpose of everything that took place in this story, concludes the scholar, which is the ultimate purpose of all God's saving actions in the world, as stated in Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. Where we read, in Him, Christ Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him, our sovereign God, who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who was the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. The Daniel story is ultimately meant to be a pointer to Christ's resurrection. The king found Daniel alive early the next morning and had him lifted out of his grave. Mark 16 declares, and very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb and they saw that the stone had been rolled back. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man, and he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." And then we read Daniel prospered. Alive. Daniel prospered during the reign of King Darius, after God saved him from certain death. And then Jesus prospered after God saved him from staying dead. In Matthew 28, he declares that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And Philippians 2 declares that God highly exalted Christ Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name. This is how highly God prospered Christ Jesus to the glory of God the Father. The good news that Daniel was saved by the living God made the king decree to all peoples that dwell on all the earth, tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He delivers and rescues. He saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So tremble and fear this God, the only God. And what a God-glorifying declaration to all the world. Just before his ascension back into heavenly glory, Jesus decreed gospel proclamation. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth." And brothers and sisters, in doing so, In sharing the good news locally and globally, Christians will surely be confronted by all kinds of evil lions. The proverb about being thrown into a lion's den is not at all an exaggerated metaphor for what some believers are faced with in our day because they are not willing to compromise their loyal obedience to their sovereign God and his word. Alistair Begg says in his book on Daniel, called Brave by Faith, in order not to compromise and blend in with post-Christian culture, we will be tempted to make a run for it, to circle the wagons and isolate ourselves, or to stand outside of our culture and shout at it. Instead, we are to serve in our culture and serve well, like Daniel, who obeyed the state wherever he could, but without compromising the law of God in any way. Dear brother and sister, let us, in the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, let us be Deo Gloria proclaimers. Soli Deo Gloria proclaimers of God's sovereign power to save from all kinds of evil lions. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, when we are tempted by hardship or persecution not to trust you, but to doubt and to conform to the sinful ways of our culture, we need the comfort and encouragement of today's message. Lord, by your Spirit, help us to trust and obey, for there is no other way. We pray for those in our midst battling difficult circumstances like a relational issue at school or home or work, and perhaps the loss of a job, and perhaps a series of failures, and perhaps the unremitting pressures of debt or the present culture's demand to conform. Whatever the circumstances wooing them to bail out of trusting you and to resort to own devices in trying to cope. Whatever the circumstances, Lord, we ask you to reassure us all that you understand and sympathize and are willing to help in your sovereign power and ability to save and to protect against all kinds of roaring events. May your Spirit help and guide and draw us all to your kingly throne for unremitting mercy and endless grace. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.